Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be reviewing a previous project I've been working on, which is our cloud servers and log analysis. And the goal for this project is to pay more attention to what's happening with our servers. And we're going to do that by running LogWatch, which is going to do our log analysis. That's a tool we're going to use for that. And then I have PostFix installed, which is an SMTP server. And that's going to send email to 365. And then we're using the UFW firewall, which is the built-in firewall on Ubuntu, to allow and deny certain services. So in this case, I'm allowing all services except for port 25, which is SMTP, because the SMTP server is only there for LogWatch to send email. I don't want random people on the internet connecting to our SMTP server, because that would be bad. Now, in my initial project, I decided to pick one server, set all this up, and see if it works. And everything seemed to go fine until I tried to send email from the server to 365, and I got nothing. And at first I thought, okay, this must be an SMTP issue. Maybe there's a DNS thing going on. There's an SPF record that specifies who can send email for Section 9. I thought maybe that's an issue, you know, and so I had all these ideas in my head as to why this wasn't working. Didn't really have a chance to dig into that because I got sick for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And so when I went back to it a couple days ago, I found out that none of that was true. I decided, you know, just for the hell of it, I'm going to go check my spam folder, see what's in there before I go down these other rabbit holes. And there it was. There was the email. So it was working day one, and I had actually done some changes to DNS before I looked at the spam folder. So now I got to go back to the DNS configuration and put things back to the way they were. But these kind of things happen, you know, because it's kind of sort of complicated to know for sure why things work or don't work when you're not entirely sure what's going on.
But one of the things that I really learned from you that saved me a lot of grief was, you know, whenever you have me troubleshoot something, you know, like the OSI model, you go to the first layer, is anything plugged in? So I think sometimes when you're looking at a complicated project, you know, we have a tendency to think, oh my God, it's going to be overly complicated, and we end up complicating it even more instead of, you know, the very first time something doesn't work, it's like, let's see if it's plugged in or let's see if it's in the spam folder.
Exactly. So next steps here, and these are some things I got from people who do this for a living. They manage Linux servers, they do log analysis, they have centralized logging. And so the simple thing that I was talking about last episode when we were talking about this project is to just do the same thing on all the cloud servers. It would have LogWatch installed, it would have PostFix installed, it would send email.
But you didn't want to have the centralized logging.
No, I didn't want to have centralized logging because I thought, okay, that's going to be too hard, too complicated. But then I thought, well, I've got to go to each one and make sure they're all configured the same. So there's, you know, issues there in terms of management and all of that. And if I make a mistake, then maybe I don't get the logs from a particular server. So I asked around and these people said, well, use rsyslog and you can configure that to send the logs from a particular host to a centralized location. And then your log analysis tool, which in our case is going to be syslog, or not syslog, but LogWatch, it can analyze all that data in one location. Now, this is a nice idea, but we also have to think about the configuration of our syslog. We also have to think about communications over the internet because this is happening on the internet. These are cloud servers. I want that communication to be encrypted. So we have to think about that as well. Now, I did find a video on how to do this. The guy talks about setting up our syslog, doing some testing, adding the encryption. It doesn't seem overly complicated. So that's something I may take into consideration. I haven't decided which way I'm going to go yet, but that's something I'm looking at as a potential solution to our problem. But then I also have to configure LogWatch to be able to analyze all the logs that come in, because I think by default, it's only going to look at the host it's on. And so I may have to do some tweaking there to get it to recognize logs from other locations.
So what you're saying is that you have the configuration for LogWatch to look at one server, but you're going to have to configure it to have it sent to the centralized location. Is that what you're saying? Or
no, so LogWatch is installed on the centralized server.
Okay.
It's got to analyze all the data that comes in. But I think I saw somewhere where it says it's only going to look at the logs for the host that it's on. When I send information from other servers, LogWatch won't recognize that information. It won't see it. And it's not that the data's not there. The data's there. It's just that LogWatch won't recognize that data. You have to configure it to look at all the data that's on the box.
So it has the capability to do that?
I'm assuming so. But you have to configure it to do that. That's okay. My understanding. Mm-hmm. I have to do my homework on that to find out what the actual configuration is supposed to be for that. So there's a lot of things that I have to take a look at here. But I will say this. The server that I'm most concerned about is the one I configured LogWatch and SMTP and all that on there. So the really, really, really important information is what we're getting now. The rest needs to be taken care of. I just have to figure out what's the best way for us to do that. Now, one thing we have to look at in terms of log analysis is the tuning and the understanding of the data that we're going to be getting, because you need to know what you're going to get and what might be the potential weak points within all of that. You know, what are you going to be missing out of all of the logs and information you're going to get from LogWatch? First of all, trying to go into the server itself and looking at the logs manually is not an option, because you're not going to be there when something bad happens. And you're not going to be looking in the right location. And also, even if the server is small and doesn't do a whole lot, it generates hundreds of lines of logs.
You don't have that kind of time. No one does. I mean, you couldn't be there 24/7 just to see it when it happens.
Exactly. So having a tool like LogWatch is the way to do it. And something I think is way better than nothing at all, which is what we currently have. So, and I think the tuning piece, there's not a lot of levers and things and buttons you can push for the LogWatch configuration. And so there's not a lot that we can do in terms of tuning, but we still need to tune it somewhat to get what we want out of that.
Is there a standard configuration?
Well, we're going to look at that later on, but okay. We just want to get an overview of how this thing is going to work for us.
Okay.
The details we're going to worry about later. The thing that we need to know for sure is that when something bad happens, and we talked about this for some of our other projects, which we never really got to, but we need to understand what evil looks like. And we need to know,
be able to identify it.
Yes. And we need to know that LogWatch is going to be able to identify that. Because if LogWatch doesn't see it, what's
the point? He's not going to send you an email.
Exactly. So these are things we need to know for sure before something bad happens. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. You got to test the tool. You got to make that look at these things in order for you to know for sure that this is the right tool for your particular situation. So what I decided to do is, as I was looking at all the emails I was getting, I'm like, it's not seeing all the data that's in there. And then I began to think about what LogWatch is looking for. LogWatch is looking for error messages, you know, things that are in the logs that sort of represent an issue with the system. It sends you generic data all by itself. It'll give you information about the SMTP server. It gives you information about the system itself in terms of drive space. So you can kind of see roughly how the system is doing. Is it running out of drive space? LogWatch will tell you that on every single email. But it's not going to send you information from all the logs unless there's something in there that is flagged as an error message or a warning message of some kind. You won't see anything. So that's what was kind of bothering me, is that the email's empty. There's nothing in here. I need to see more. And that's when I thought, okay, I need to generate something that's going to trigger LogWatch to send that as part of the email. So what I decided to do is I decided to try to generate some evil within the authentication logs. So when you log in through SSH or even the terminal, if you're standing in a physical box, that information goes into this auth log, and that's for authentication, the authentication process. So if there's a failure in the authentication process, LogWatch should catch that. So what I did, and the way we do our authentication is I log in through SSH, but SSH is set up to use keys. So you can't just SSH into the box and try to log in. You also have to have a key. If you don't have a key, it's not going to let you in. So what I decided to do is log in without a key and use an account or username that doesn't exist on the box. And that's going to generate some stuff in the logs. Sure enough, it did. And then the next day, I got an email. And in that email, it said, hey, you have a user that doesn't belong on the box. He's not part of the box. It's not an account that's on the system. And then you also have issues with the way in which they're authenticating to your system. I don't remember the exact bits of information that was in there, but all the right things were in there in terms of what LogWatch was able to catch. It caught the evil. So if somebody figures out what port we have SSH listening on, because we're on a non-standard port, when they try to connect without a key,
You'll get a notification.
We will get a notification the following day, or depending on how we set up LogWatch, because you can do, right now we do daily, but it's the previous day that gets analyzed. So it would take a day for us to see that. We could also do it weekly, which is what I used to do in the past when I was monitoring my servers. I would do weekly because I didn't really want to see dailies. So we might even change it to a weekly email instead of daily. But it would catch all of that. So I would see that somebody's trying to authenticate to our SSH server with a user account that doesn't exist and improper authentication protocols, meaning that they don't have a key. They're not authenticating properly.
So quick question. What if there is a user, let's say that they get my credentials, you know, but they don't know we're using a key and they try to log in with my credentials, but without the key? It should catch that as well, correct?
It will catch that as well because the authentication process is wrong.
Okay.
There's no key.
Mm-hmm.
No key, no SSH.
I was just trying to think that if the process looks semi-normal, will it still catch it or will it still say, hey, you know?
No, because SSH is configured to use the keys. And so SSH is going to put in the logs, hey, this is not correct.
Got it.
You know, and so you're going to see that in the logs. And that's why we have LogWatch, because LogWatch is going to analyze the entire logs for that kind of information. Now, there's other stuff I'd like to know more about, and if there are error messages in that, I want LogWatch to catch that. Unfortunately, I don't know how to generate, because we have DNS servers in there, and I don't know how to generate an issue with DNS for it to send me that kind of information. But at least we're getting something, right? At least I know that part of LogWatch is working because it's analyzing the authentication logs. It's doing some stuff with SSH. I get to see some things in there. So that tells me that my goal for the project is to do some log analysis on our servers. And LogWatch is doing that. So for me, this is a sign that the project is working, that my goal is being met. Now, as I said before in the past episode, when we're talking about this, LogWatch is not fancy. It doesn't do fancy log analysis. It does basic log analysis, which in our case is perfectly fine.
Basic is better than no analysis any day of the week, so.
Right, right. And also, one thing I want to point out here is that I could have gone with the Elk stack, which is way more complicated. I may look at that in the future for other projects and just to see how that thing works. But in this case, I think LogWatch is going to be perfect for what we're trying to do. Now, I have to go back and look at, okay, do I want to set up LogWatch and PostFix on all of our servers, or do I want to do an rsyslog configuration? And I'm leaning towards the rsyslog configuration because then when I want to go and look at the logs, if I need to manually go to the logs and poke around in there to see what's going on, because maybe LogWatch missed something, or I want to kind of see what's going on in the logs based on what LogWatch sends me, there's something bad happening, I go to one server and I look at all the logs for all of our boxes. So that's something that I think is going to be beneficial. And then I get to say, wait, we have centralized logging for our cloud servers. That's my homework for now. I need to decide how I want to do that. Again, I'm leaning towards that rsyslog setup, but there's lots of moving parts to this. And so I want to make sure that I do my homework before I just make a decision. And then you and I are going to have to sit down and kind of briefly take a look at what's happening there so you can kind of understand what the email is and how to read that. So you kind of know, hey, if I'm the one looking at this, I can say, hey, there's something bad happening. Let's take action. Let's move forward on this thing. Or it's just regular, nothing bad's happening. We're good. I can close this. We're done. Anything else you want to?
No. I'm just curious about how the process or the project management part of it develops and widens, because as you're finding out these new things, you know, you're going to have to make some adjustments to the task and even maybe the goal, and just widen the scope. But like you said, that's information for another show. And, you know, for me, that I'm trying to learn that process is kind of what goes in my mind right now.
Yeah, but that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can send us an email at support@section9.us. If you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to our website for that. And if you haven't subscribed to our show, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.